It's my new obsession. Yeah, pink, it's not even a question. Pink on the lips of your lover. Cause pink is the love you discover.
Welcome to the Marilyn York Show. Warning, this program is not for the faint of heart. Listen at your own peril. If you have questions about marriage, relationships, or divorce, call 823-1920. And now, here's your host, Marilyn York.
Good morning. This is Marilyn York. Welcome back to the show. And this week, we have the Swingers back. Welcome back, Swingers! last week they came on the show, and one of the things they mentioned, which is apparently news to me, and I thought I had my finger on the pulse of Hollywood. I do read the trash mags, I'm not going to lie. And they had mentioned that Will and Jada Pinkett Smith were apparently in an open marriage. And so I had to Google it all. I tried to act cool. They were here like, yeah, I know all about them. And then I went back to my office and Googled it. So if you guys are bored, seriously, Google Will and Jada Smith swinging and you'll get like 80,000 hits. And like some of the quotes I had here, Will Smith, he's like, I tell my wife if I need to have sex with someone else, unquote. Like, wow, that's so nice of you. But apparently he doesn't ever sleep with anyone without her consent. Like, I'm not going to do it if you don't approve of it, unquote. So anyway, he said, our perspective is you don't avoid what's natural and you're going to be attracted to other people. So anyway, interesting. And we will discuss that a little. In fact, for role play purposes, I'm going to call our lovely swingers here, Will and Jada, for the moment. And maybe we'll switch it up midway through the show. If you guys have more questions for them, and I know you do, because last week our lines were busy half of the show. And so 823-1920 is the phone number to call if you want to speak with Will and Jada or myself. And you can also get on my Facebook fan page, and I have it up on the screen, and type your little lovelies if you're being shy, or go on the MarilynYorkShow.com at any time. An email as well. So let's talk about some of the stuff we didn't get to last week, but just to give some cliff notes for those that weren't listening, perhaps the beginning of last week's show, can you give us just a quick synopsis of the three types of swinging, Will or Jada, to start? Go ahead.
Sure. There's three types. There's the exhibitionist.
Okay.
That's people who just go into a room with other swingers or other exhibitionists and have sex. Sometimes people go in to watch. Then you have the soft swap. They do pretty much, it's hard to say what they do. It depends on the couple, but the basic one delineator is they don't have intercourse with other people. They may not kiss. They may not do some other stuff as well.
Okay.
And then you have full swap, and they pretty much do anything. Intercourse is usually a requirement at that point.
It's mandatory.
Yes.
A minimum mandatory level.
Yes. You have to get your card stamped.
It's like the Mormon card, only not Mormon. Okay, so here's one of the things that I want to know about, because I noticed that these two individuals, I've seen them on three occasions now, are very physically affectionate to one another publicly. Nothing disgusting, don't anyone read into this. Just sweet, very physically sweet to one another. And I think part of people's hesitation, and me included, in showing physical affection towards one another is just the public perception, or the fact that they're shy about it and don't want people to be that much aware of their intimacy, even when it's just as simple as a handhold or like a back rub. And so I wonder if it helps you guys obviously be less inhibited about just showing basic affection when you're clearly comfortable having sex with other people, or particularly the exhibitionist level. Did that make you guys more physically affectionate on a platonic level, shall we say, or lesser level?
I don't think so. We were always pretty affectionate towards each other. Lots of PDAs.
Okay, always. maybe that's because I guess it would take the mentality. If you're willing to try voyeurism, you can't be afraid to hold hands in public, because then you're like, that's just way too big of a step. But it just made me think, like, that's part of my hesitation is just being shy, or like if I have my kids around, particularly my 13-year-old, I'm like, oh, he's gonna puke if I touch my husband's hand. He'll be like, oh, sick, don't touch him, gross, because they're jerks. I'm like, anyway, okay, moving on to more exciting things. So what is the demographic of like swingers in general? Let's say locally, because that's where you guys tend to swing. Is that an accurate statement, or do you guys import, export? I mean, what are the boundaries of the swinging scene for you two?
We do tourists. So
okay, nice, nice. That tourism's big in Reno,
yeah.
So keeps the variety.
We're one of the attractions.
Nice. I love it.
We also go to Mexico. There's a couple resorts in Mexico, and we go down there. So we've met people from all over the country.
Okay. And is the Mexican resorts all tourists, locals, mixed, what?
Mostly American tourists, but there are some locals. We've run into a couple of Mexican couples.
Oh, okay.
Some from
Brazil. That's convenient for them.
Yeah.
They're like, hey.
Actually, we've met people from all over the world. We've met people from England and Brazil, Canada.
So, what's that called? Parking or something?
Oh, dogging.
Dogging. I thank you guys for making me cool again. Dogging, it's what in Europe? I think mostly England. Can you tell the general public what dogging is? Fill them in, because I've read about it and I love this stuff. Well, I'm wrong.
Apparently, it's really, really big there. It's like every car park in England is a dogging location. And what they do is they drive to this car park, this parking lot, and they'll meet strangers and have sex with them in the car. Or you can have sex with your own, you know, the person you brought.
Yeah, that's right. Because I remember saying, like, there's certain signals. Like, they're like, if lights on in the car, people having sex, that means come watch me.
Right.
Lights on the car, I'm alone and the door's open, that means come do me. Like, there was certain, like, etiquette of dogging that made it, you know, obvious to people participating. But what about the poor families who have the kid like mine that's like, I have to go to the bathroom, mommy? And you pull up and there's dogging going on. Like, every other car. Like, well, honey, hurry up. So that's an interesting thing, though, to me. I just actually got an email from a friend of mine who traveled to Japan, and he was telling me about these places called maid stores or bars. And essentially, it's a strange role play kind of locale where in one instance, he said one that looks like a school. And you go in and adults sit in these little tiny wooden school desks, and they have like a teacher up front with a big chalkboard. And he said there was a Japanese man that ordered pancakes, and he had the waitress next to him. He bought her pancakes as well. And then they had to engage in an eating competition to see who could consume them faster. And she won, because come on, she's not an amateur. And then he had to go up to the front of the room and be spanked in front of all the other patrons as a result of losing the pancake competition. And I'm like, Japanese are so creative in a crazy way. So it's just an interesting concept. So I'm sure there's more things out there like that. And I assume that some of it may overlap with swinging just because of the open nature of the attitudes involved. I don't know. But if at any point you guys want to share some strangeity like that, please do for my enjoyment. If you guys want to call and ask questions about these sort of things or share your own experiences, please do. 823-1920. And in the meantime, I'm going to get back into the demographic of swingers locally. What are the general ages and like occupation, income level, Caucasian versus ethnicity? Like, what are the demographic differences or generalities in the swinging population you guys are familiar with?
Most of the people we meet are between about 35 and 50, I would say. And they tend to be professional, politically conservative. And
that is a surprising thing.
Yes. And Caucasian.
Okay. So politically conservative, like they have money, so they don't want to share it.
Yeah. That would be.
But I wouldn't say socially conservative based on the fact that they're swinging. Although there's some hypocrisy, shall we say, in the religious sector of the world. And if you're listening and you want to yell at me, do it. Bring it on.
There's an interesting. They are politically and I think a little bit socially conservative. I think there's a lot of respect for women. I don't know that you would find a lot of women's libbers in swinging. So it does seem this weird kind of contradiction, but in some weird way, it kind of actually makes sense.
Yeah, no, I guess so. I'm a little surprised because it seems like an open thing. Like, how do you stay anonymous in that sense? Because I know you guys were using names for you for fun. But I mean, if you have a requirement or a desire to be more anonymous in this field of play, how do you do so? Like, what sort of precautions would you take?
Well, a lot of people, we have profiles on three different websites that are geared towards people meeting other, or couples meeting other couples.
What are those websites for people that might want to get into it? What would you suggest the website that they go to start out?
To start out in Reno, I would say swinglifestyle.com.
And is that locally like a cupid.com where you can put in a zip code and search within a certain number of miles kind of idea?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then there's also Adult Friend Finder, which does singles as well as couples, whereas Swing Lifestyle is more geared towards couples.
Okay.
And then there's one other called Lifestyle Lounge, lifestylelounge.com. they don't have as many people in Reno, so it's not as useful for people who are going to be in the area. But if you travel, it's a great site.
Well, and some people may want to travel for anonymity, I assume, because mm-hmm. that would probably assist you better. I mean, this is Reno. I always call it like 2 degrees of Maryland's vagina. I know that's rude and gross, but it makes me laugh because I swear I'll go into like a courtroom. I'm like, oh, there's an ex-boyfriend, a bar. Oh, there's an ex-boyfriend, or somebody dated my ex-boyfriend. It's like 2 degrees. Mm-hmm. I just have to make it dirty or I'm bored. So that's one idea. What about where you guys meet? When you first talk to somebody on your swing website, where do you guys meet up? I mean, do you let them come to your house? Do you meet at Pneumatic Diner? Do you go down to, you know, Wally's Hot Springs? Where's the meeting up kind of locale in Reno?
The Peppermill.
Dirty Peppermill. Mm-hmm. I like the Peppermill as a swinging concept because I was driving by the other day and I'm like, it is like swinging because it's like at least 2, maybe 3 casinos in one. You're with like 3 different casinos because it used to be this like new modern glass building. And then they're like, oh, wait, we're Tuscan. Yeah, no, we're Tuscan. Oh, wait, we're a gross casino inside with the blue lights everywhere.
Yeah.
So it's like 3 different genres. Although in Italy, if you've ever been, it totally drives me nuts because they're like, oh, we have like the Parthenon next to like a big glass high rise. So it is very Italian of them to be completely confused. So the Peppermill is where do you go if you want to swing, which I love because there is quite a crowd at the Peppermill. And now they have those like different sections, like the certain tower that has its own pool and like mm-hmm. bar scene. So I'm going to go and I'm going to start looking around now.
Go to the Fireside Lounge. That's where a lot of them have been going for years. And now there's a new, and part of the new expansion, there's a new bar, and I can't remember.
I don't remember the name.
Yeah, but it's
I know which bar you're talking about. It's like circular kind
yes.
of shaped.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one I'm talking about, and there's a pool like really close
yep.
by.
Yep. Yeah.
And there seems to be like a pool to bar traffic pattern going. Like they're in their bathing suits, they throw on a sarong, and they go to the bar. I'm like, I should look that hot in my bathing suit. So should they, by the way. Side note. So we're going to come up on a break any moment. And when we come back, we're going to talk about you two opening your own club. I touched on it just briefly last week, but I want to get into the differences and what you're trying to do and how it's going to run so that people understand what is available in the Reno area. And again, we will be asking about other safety precautions that are taken in the lifestyle so that people understand that as well. We'll talk to you guys after the break.
There's a lot going on right here in Nevada. Rather than just hear about it, talk about it. 6 to 10 weekdays, Fox 1270 in the morning with Panama plus Don Gibbons.
Have you ever seen a square foot? Well, we've got 8,800 of them, and they're all fun. We're Junkie, 8,800 square feet of pure fun, because it's fun to save money, and it's fun to shop at Junkie. Got a theme party coming up? We can help you pull it all together. We've got the right look for your roaring 20s theme party. Been invited to a disco party? Need to look like Madonna or Cyndi Lauper? No problem. Our 80s gear is totally rad. Junkie has clothes for every kind of theme party. And Junkie can save you money on clothes for work, clothes for play, and clothes that are priced so low they just satisfy your urge to shop. You don't have to spend a lot to have a lot of fun. Some of our square feet are devoted to affordable retro furniture and vintage style home decor. You can decorate your home in a unique way at Junkie's Antique Mall. We also have tons of one-of-a-kind jewelry. So for affordable parties, clothes, accessories, retro furniture, and antiques, Junkie's the fun place to shop. Now we'll get serious and tell you where we're located. We're in the big brick building between Vassar and California on Virginia Street. Junkie is obviously the fun place to shop.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. And we serve our full food menu until 10 at night. And hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. I hate advertising. If I'm being honest, I hate it more than anything. Why should you believe anything I have to say about myself? I'm in the best position to say great things about myself, but you don't know me, and there's no reason for you to trust me. So I'm going to ask you to do one thing. If you need help in family law matters, please ask two people in a town of this size, and you should be able to hear my name. I've been doing this for over 11 years exclusively, and if you can't ask two people you trust about me and hear good things, then I'm not the right attorney for you. On the other hand, I believe you will hear good things about us, and when you do, then we're the law firm for you. At a minimum, you will need legal advice when going through something like this, and you may need representation. Again, this is Marilyn York. Please call us at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit us on the web at marilynyork.net, not com, marilynyork.net.
You know you want to quit smoking. Well, you can do it in just a few steps. All you need is a little motivation.
Get ready.
First, set a date to quit.
Get medicine.
Talk to your doctor about medicines that can help you.
Get help.
Call 1-800-QUIT-NOW, a free service that can help you get started. Or go to ahrq.gov/consumer for more information about quitting.
You can quit smoking.
A few easy steps that'll help save your life. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Fox News Radio, 1270.
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? I got a bad desire.
This is Marilyn York. We're back on the Marilyn York Show with Will and Jada, my pet names for our little swinging loved couple. And I was just getting hit on by some lovely lady on Facebook, which is so funny to me. She like sent me something all about how whether I was interested in being her friend with benefits and why I'm not answering her messages, which I've never gotten before. But anyway, she's very LA, like beautiful, but you know, made it over with the fake rack and the bleachy blonde hair and the fake and baked tan. But the good news is that she put too much detergent in the washing machine, and so her panties are going to be extra, extra fresh. So anyway, it's totally interesting. I'll respond to her, probably not in a way that makes her happy, just because that's really not my thing. But, you know, I might hook her up with the swingers. Who knows? She's cute. All right. So we have John on line one. John, I'm sorry to keep you holding. My computer screen was black because I'm retarded. But
I don't know if you just heard the news, but the oil is coming up Virginia Street.
No, I didn't hear the news.
you know,
that's from the people that live here, John. It's not because of the oil spill. That's just the greasy tourist section.
The demographic you left out were fundamentalist Christians and Republicans.
That's what I'm trying to find out.
And they're mostly on Constitution Avenue in Washington, D.C.
And they're getting their swing thing on. I like them more for that, though. Like, that actually brings me joy to know that they're getting their swing on.
I didn't know that cars in the U.K. were that big enough for that kind of stuff.
That is a very good point, because those little tiny mini cars, maybe that says something about how well endowed they are or not, as the case may be. Those chicks are kind of corn-fed over there, though, so they're going to have to get out of the car on some occasions. But it's a good point.
I presume. When I was listening last week, a dichotomy was forming in my mind.
Okay.
And in the law, as you know, we define things by their elements. Example being burglary is entering a building with the intent to commit a crime. And if you don't answer the question with those elements, it's marked wrong. Nespa?
Yes. Following along.
Okay. This lifestyle, I heard people calling in, if it's right, if we click, I'll do this, I won't do that. It's 4:30 in the morning. Now or never again. Is one of the elements of this control?
I would hope so to some extent, but I'll let the swingers answer. Go ahead.
I'm not sure exactly what you mean by control. Control of like your spouse or control of people that you're playing
control
with?
Control of the people you engage.
No. I've actually had a question like this before, wondering if some of this had to do with dominance over your spouse. And no, really, there's nothing. Some people want to, I think, ascribe a sinister nature to what's going on, and really, it's just about people having fun. If it's about anything for most people with the couples, it's about seeing your spouse with someone else. There seems to be, at least for men, a real turn on to see your wife with somebody else.
All I would need to know is what's their name, because I'll be screaming it later on.
John, you easy animal. Listen to, well, John. John was Catholic, I suspect, in his youth. Am I right, John?
Monastery.
He just has quite a bit of religious background information.
All boys school.
So that will taint a man in his preferences. Do you become impotent at the sight of blue corduroy? That is the test.
We wore black slacks and a red sweater and a necktie.
Okay, well, does that make you impotent, that outfit right there, or is it more exciting? Because I just like to test my religious theory out.
Well,
nothing new swinging, but
I have a cassock.
Okay.
Like the brothers wore, and that kind of does it for me, but I don't want to
for role play.
Too much into it.
Don't use your last name in case your mom's listening, John.
And a great big stick.
All right, fair enough.
Well, do it to them before they do it to you.
That's fair, and you could be one of those maid cafes in Japan. That's a good role play thing for them.
Yes. Well, have a good one.
Thanks, John. Thanks for calling. 823-1920 if you guys want to share or quiz my little love couple here and see if they're control freaks. But I think there's an element of control always, especially in a sexual context, because if not, you're in danger. I mean, that's just a reality of being smart about it and having some control of your environment. I don't know. Do you guys feel like being swingers puts you in some sort of risk pattern, or do you feel like it's generally a safe, well-meaning lifestyle as far as the people that come into it?
No, I've never felt that we've been at risk ever. And what's really important is that when it comes to swinging and women are not going to do it unless they feel safe. That's very important to women.
How do you say no without being offensive? Because I know back in my single day, I had more sex than I wanted because of my lack of exit skills, particularly in my youth. Sorry, mom and dad, if you're listening.
It's tough. It's tough. I mean, there's people who will ignore if they're
a direct get the hell away from me signal.
Well, no, I mean, if someone contacts us and we don't find them attractive,
you just don't
some
respond.
People would just not respond. We would respond. And
you're kind of a heifer, ma'am. I'm not into
not quite like that. No.
Oh, okay. See, that's part of my problem. I'm not very good at being smooth, shall we say. I'm just a little too direct. So I fear that someone will do it back to me.
It's a challenge because you have to tell people you're not interested. But
they probably take it better than a connection that's being made for purposes of a dating relationship, for example. Like, I'm less offended if it's a casual encounter, and as I grow older, it's just not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. But then, say, somebody that's trying to get married or date you.
Well,
it's not as personal in this case.
Swingers are direct people. So if I think that if you just sort of ignore them or kind of BS your way through and say, yeah, we'll meet you, but then there's always an excuse, they don't appreciate it. I think they'd just rather know. I mean, we would rather know.
Yeah.
So what about the situation where you have a husband and wife and you guys meet up and something just doesn't click for one of you, but it does for the other? In your particular case, do you guys still partake one of you, or do you leave? How do you handle it?
If taking one for the team is what we call that.
Who jumps on the grenade?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of us won't take one for the team.
There's no jumping on the grenade.
No.
That's fair.
And there haven't been any situations, I can't think of any, where we met a couple, was attracted to one of them, and just got together with that one. Usually most couples want to play together. So we're a little bit different in that sense. So I think...
Oh, because you guys just separate, divide and conquer, feel like it? Assuming they're on board for the same situation?
Yeah, you can do that.
And are you guys direct enough to be like, look, my wife's not into you, but I'm into your wife, so she's going to go get a burger. And
no.
No.
We don't do that. Because most couples don't play separately. They play together. So usually we'll just say we have... You know, we'll talk with... I mean, most of the people are very, very nice. They're very interesting. They're educated. And we'll talk with them, but then we just go instead of deciding to.
So there's no like mandatory expectation that if you guys meet up from a site for drinks that you're going to have sex with them do anything with them?
We normally do.
Like, wait, easy there, Maryland.
But
we're not wasting cocktails now.
Right.
Does it help if you have a few extra drinks like normal? I mean, I'm allergic to alcohol, so excuse my alcohol ignorance. Help me out here. But does that help the inhibitions? Are there still nerves involved?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Sometimes more than others. Like, if there's more chemistry, it might make you a little more nervous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Just like to know these things. I want you guys to know that the dynamic in the studio is these two are like ridiculous. They're so cute. They look at each other when they're talking. Like, so if you hear the voices change, like fade in and out a little, it's because they're like looking at each other, like having conversation with each other. I'm barely here, which is fine. No, but it's cute. I mean, I just kind of noticed that. And like, you know, wife will turn her head, husband will turn his head, and they're like looking at each other in the eyes and having conversation with each other. So what they said is true. They actually appear to be very much in love and very much affectionate. And in that regard, what has this done for your marriage? How has it made your marriage better? And is there any way in which it's made your marriage not as good? Jada, this one's to you, baby.
Well, we always had a good marriage. And you cannot get into the lifestyle if you have problems in your marriage. It's a recipe for disaster.
Okay.
So you have to be in a really healthy, happy marriage in the first place.
So if you guys are listening, don't try to pull this maneuver to save your marriage or make your sex life more interesting when you have none. That's not a good idea, apparently.
Right.
Yeah, that's bad news. But I would say it has made our relationship better because now we can talk about everything. I mean, people like to think that they are married to their best friend. And I would say that I've always been married to my best friend. However, up until we started doing this, I couldn't say to my husband what I could say to my best girlfriend, like, oh my gosh, that guy is so hot. I would do that in a second if I could. I could never say that to my husband before. Well, I probably could have, but most people cannot say that to their spouse.
And not just that, like we complain to our girlfriends all the time or guy friends, whatever, about we're not getting laid enough or he doesn't do this or I wish I had more oral sex or why does he leave the toilet seat up? I don't even want to have sex with him when he does that. Would we ever say that to him? No. Would he actually put the toilet seat down if he heard that? I'm going to go 40-60 on the no front, but better than not. So the question is, why can't we do that stuff? Because that's a very good point that it does open communication on a very intimate level. What have there been challenges to your marriage as a result, or perhaps maybe when you were getting into it initially?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Look at these two perfect people. It's like in criminy. I'm like Angelina and Jolie's naked next to me right now. That's what I feel like. Like, oh, could I look more hideous? No, probably not. So 823-1920, if you guys have some comments or questions for our local swingers couple, I know you do, and you guys are being shy or you're fearful that you're going to be associated with the lifestyle if you call in. Use a fake name. Nobody cares. Nobody knows. Quit being such pansies. That's all I have to say. So oral sex, is that a safe sex thing that you guys do in the lifestyle? I mean, do you guys use condoms for that? Because prostitutes have to, but to me, it's absurd in real world practice. Prostitutes are professionals. That's why they can do this better than me. So I'm just going to accept that right now. So is there an element of safety that you guys are concerned with, or do you generally find the people to be appearing clean and healthy? I know that can be deceiving, but not always.
We use condoms and with intercourse, but that's probably about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys have regular testing regimes in your particular marriage?
We don't. Some people do. Some people actually insist on being able to see some sort of documentation.
With your name on it?
Yeah.
Like, I could get you some documentation. I'll whip you up something right now.
That's what we feel. You know, it doesn't mean anything. You can fake anything. So we look at it a lot like dating. You know, I didn't do that when I was dating. I didn't ask some girl to give me proof that she didn't have
a disease. I used to make a little date in Los Angeles where we go to the health clinic and get tested together as one of our dates. And we use like rock star names because you could use an honest names there and get your results like very quickly. Big city benefits. But I'm not saying it's a romantic gesture. It's like a prenup. Some people like it, some don't. So, okay. Well, that's interesting to know. So Peppermill's the place to be. Do you ever bring them home to your house, or they bring you home to their house? Mm-hmm. Have you ever had any like swinger stalkers that once they know where you live, you find them on your porch? What about Bob style? Oh my God. There's a story here, you guys. Yeah. I can see in their eyes. Give it to me.
He wasn't he's a wannabe swinger, but I'll let Jada tell you.
Oh, you know what? We're going to take a break just to keep you guys salivating for this, because this is going to be a good story. I can totally tell. And when we come back from the break, we're going to hear the story about What About Bob? I Want to Be a Swinger.com. You're listening to the Marilyn York Show. We'll be back in just a moment.
Think you have an opinion? Michael Savage offers a few of his own live weekdays at 3 on Fox News Radio 1270.
There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and as ladies among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1424. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, Exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us. If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to Exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Have you ever seen a square foot? Well, we've got 8,800 of them, and they're all fun. We're Junkie, 8,800 square feet of pure fun, because it's fun to save money, and it's fun to shop at Junkie. Got a theme party coming up? We can help you pull it all together. We've got the right look for your roaring 20s theme party. Been invited to a disco party? Need to look like Madonna or Cyndi Lauper? No problem. Our 80s gear is totally rad. Junkie has clothes for every kind of theme party. And Junkie can save you money on clothes for work, clothes for play, and clothes that are priced so low they just satisfy your urge to shop. You don't have to spend a lot to have a lot of fun. Some of our square feet are devoted to affordable retro furniture and vintage style home decor. You can decorate your home in a unique way at Junkie's Antique Mall. We also have tons of one-of-a-kind jewelry. So for affordable parties, clothes, accessories, retro furniture, and antiques, Junkie's the fun place to shop. Now we'll get serious and tell you where we're located. We're in the big brick building between Vassar and California on Virginia Street. Junkie is obviously the fun place to shop.
Join Fox News Radio 1270 every Saturday morning at 11 for Skirted Issues with Jennifer Rose, dating expert, host of TV's The Plush Life, and owner of It's Just Lunch, brings you an abundance of information on all aspects of relationships, advice on sex, romance, dating, and intimacy, plus lots of great ideas for improving and creating long-lasting relationships. Tune in this Saturday for a live interview with Kathy Karash, covering information not previously disclosed on Skirted Issues with Jen, Saturday morning at 11 on Fox News Radio 1270.
Is it still me that makes you sweat? Am I who you think about in bed? When the lights are dim and your hands are shaking as you're sliding off your dress, think of what you did and how I hope to God he was worth it. When the lights are dim and your heart is racing as your fingers touch, I've got more wit, a better kiss, hotter touch, a better f*** than any boy you'll ever meet. Sweetie, you had me. Girl, I was it, look past the sweat, a better love deserving of exchanging body heat in the.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show, and I hope you guys were waiting for this good story. I have the swingers here, and they're going to explain to me their stalker story or their wannabe swinger. What about Bob hanging around, dude? Go ahead. I think that Jada is going to take this one. So what's the story, Jada?
Well, I'm not sure how this individual learned about what it is, what we do.
What it is that we do, she says, that we're swank thing.
And he contacted me one day on a social networking site.
Okay.
And asked if I was going to be going to one of the local clubs. And I had no idea who this person was. I had never seen him at this club before. And
Could you see his picture, like when he contacted you on the, okay.
Yes.
So you looked at it and didn't recognize him.
I did not recognize him. And I did not answer the question. I just said, who are you and why are you?
Why do you want to know where I'm going to be? Look how smart you are. Like when people ask me, I'm like, no, but I'll be here, here, and here. Why?
And
what a genius I am.
And his response was, well, you might not know who I am, but I know who you are. And that creeped me out. And I told my husband about it, and he...
See, you guys are so smart.
We...
I'd be like, oh, how sweet. He likes me.
This whole you may not know me, but I know you thing is pretty creepy. So I told my husband about it, and we decided to just not... I didn't reply or anything. And then I started having some friends and associates come to me and saying that this guy was asking them if they go to this club, if they do the same kinds of activities that I do. And that's very... not only is it dangerous for an individual in the lifestyle, because you can't really let this out of the bag because people don't understand it, but it's also very dangerous for him, not necessarily in our situation, but there are a lot of people who would want to make sure that that cat wasn't let out of the bag, and he would be at some risk for doing this. And he wasn't from this country, and I don't think he fully understood
the normal socials. Mm-hmm.
And
nuances.
My husband sent him an email saying, you will stop this, or you will wish you had.
He made a death threat on Facebook, and then and, took care of things.
Yes. And then...
Did that help, by the way?
The first time, it did not help. No.
And he did it one last time, and then finally we got to a point where we were in touch with some of the people who run the security at the club that I guess he had been to, that we had been to, but not at the same time. And they pulled him aside and told him, you can't do this. This is absolutely unacceptable. It's just a very dangerous thing to do. And it goes, if you understand the lifestyle, it goes against our whole rule book. I mean, that is something you do not do. Discretion is number one. You know, you cannot... You can't do that. You just can't. It's a huge rule.
He found a new person to stalk.
He had started stalking another individual that we knew.
And then
I guess that person contacted the club. Mm-hmm. And then when he came in the next time, they said, okay, enough is enough. And the thing is that if you do something like that and people know who you are, you're going to get blacklisted quickly, because no one wants to have someone around who is going to start contacting their friends on social networking sites. And she played it off very well, and she managed to save the situation, but it was a little mm-hmm. creepy and a little freaky.
Do you guys get law enforcement involved at any point, or is that part of the discretion concern that you want to be like, so officer, we're swinging and this dirty swinger wannabe, what about Bob stalking us on swingers' websites. I mean, that makes it a little more difficult, I presume.
Yeah, my instinct was to handle it myself.
Sure.
But I don't know that the police would have been willing to get too involved. They probably would have considered it just kind of a lover spat.
For it?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I know that they aren't exactly open to some of these alternatives because they got enough work to do and they're jerks. I said it. I bashed Reno PD for like the 17th time on here. Speaking of the discretion, what is the prejudice? What sort of things do you guys see as far as stigmatisms on the lifestyle that you're trying to avoid in being anonymous? 823-1920, if you guys are listening and you want to call and ask your own questions or share your own experiences, but let's ask them this question.
We just know that there are a lot of people who have... I guess, religious and other moral objections. All right, my brother would be absolutely nuts if he found out what I do. At least I think he would. And I suspect that he wouldn't let me around his kids. He would have a reaction like, oh my God, you're going to molest my children or something.
Deviant.
Do people have that like big leap of logic in their heads? Like, you're swingers, therefore you're pedophiles.
And not only that, AIDS,
and I'm going to get it because you walked by me.
Yeah, you'll have sex with anyone. You must have a disease. You must be
dirty, sick
in the head. All
you're
these weird
gay
things.
What about the gay thing? Like, how much gay sex is there from male to male in the swingers lifestyle?
Okay, this is a very hotly debated issue.
Good, we're cutting edge. Bring it.
I think there's actually a lot of male bisexuality, but it's still actually very underground. A lot of people won't hook up with couples that have a bisexual male.
So do they ask you that point blank? And you're not bisexual, correct?
Right. I'm not, right.
Okay, so they ask you that and reject you or don't reject you because they want you to not be.
If it's on your profile, usually what the...
Profile's that detailed where it'd be like bisexual female, not bisexual male.
Okay. Right, yeah, it'll actually ask your sexuality. And people who have either postings in forums or on their profile, anything about a bisexual male, they have a harder time. Now, they might be able to find other bisexual males and hook up, but a lot of them apparently hide it because they get kind of blacklisted. So it's very underground, but I think it's actually a lot more prevalent than people would realize, because you see in some of the forums over and over again, people asking, doing polls on, you know, male bisexuality.
That's so interesting to me, and sad too, that, you know, the lifestyle of yours that's swinging should be more open-minded. Mm-hmm. And yet it appears that the prejudice for gay males, for example, continues within your lifestyle, yeah, just like it would the heterosexual community, just like it would the religious community or the singles community, almost as much. But I suspect the bisexual females are maybe even revered as,
yes, oh yes,
the ones to get with.
A single,
which is
bisexual,
cool if you are. If you're not, it's annoying. Like, my few girlfriends are like, we don't hug when we watch TV naked. The question actually gets old, guys. We're not lesbians. We're not going to start making, yeah, out just because she looks good tonight. Like, any more than you are with your dude who happens to wear a good cologne. I mean, bizarre. But I'm sorry, little side note. What were you going to say with regard to lesbian girls or bisexual girls, yeah, not lesbian?
Single bisexual women are called unicorns.
Unicorns.
And, yeah, because they're rare. And
I thought it's because they strapped one on. I was like, dirty.
Well,
boy.
Maybe that was the, yeah, that could be it.
I always take it to the next level. Sorry. Okay, well, that's cool. So they're rare.
They're, okay, rare and beautiful and sought after.
All right, that's fair. So, the prejudice, would it like extend to the workplace? Is that a concern as well for a professional,
yes, yes,
point of view? And so that's the other reason that you guys are anonymous. Mm-hmm. Is there like a code of silence? Because I swear to God, your code of silence works 10 times better than NA and AA. Because I know there's more swingers. And I had told you two when we had lunch that despite the fact that I'm sure I've done at least 500 divorces, I have never had anyone tell me they were a swinger. And I know they are. And I ask, trust me, I'm not, there's nothing I won't ask. And if I have any reason to suspect it, I'd ask that point blank. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, your code of silence is unbelievable, but they rat each other out for NA and AA every 10 seconds. Oh, I know that bailiff because they used heroin in, you know, they'll, oh, give, wow, me the dealer's name. I'm like, oh, way to be anonymous. So it's very interesting to me. And I want to talk about that more when we come back from the break. In the meantime, I'm going to remind you guys about our favorite sponsor, Junkie Clothing Exchange, which is on South Virginia Street. They are open today. I went to the customer appreciation party last week. I hope you guys made it. It was lovely fun. And it's a great place. I got a few little knickknacks and some antiques and a really cool pink slip with lacy good stuff on it for like a dollar. I swear, it's unbelievable. So get on over there after this show, because you have to listen to me, because that's just the requirement of being my fan. And we'll be back after the break. You're listening to Marilyn York, and we're going to talk to the swingers some more when we come back.
Join Bert Ramos for The Balance Report, the voice of reason, a program of civility, respect, and independent thinking. Bring balance to your world Saturday at noon on Fox News 1270.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools. And order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon. There's a piece of Nevada's history just 15 minutes from downtown Reno, the legendary Mustang Ranch Museum, Nevada's first legal bordello. Learn about owner Joe Conforti, where he went sideways with the feds over taxes, and they ended up owning and operating the Mustang Ranch. Take a walk down memory lane with Joe and Sally. See where they lived while they worked. You can see the Rolling Stone magazine cover featuring Joe and his ladies, among other original magazine covers. The Mustang Ranch Museum runs tours from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. for groups large and small, Monday through Saturday. If you have a large group, please book in advance by calling 775-343-1422. 1-800-324. Walk-ins are welcome, too. Tours cost $5. Plus, we have a wonderful gift shop with T-shirts, shot glasses, baseball caps, and the largest selection of Native American jewelry. Take I-80 East, exit 28, 15 minutes from downtown. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit, and that's where you'll find us.
I'm attorney Marilyn York, and my firm exclusively focuses on men's rights in divorce, child custody, and family law matters. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. These shocking statistics do go on and on. And yet, in the context of divorce and separation, 50% of mothers see no value in the father's continued contact with their children. 40% of mothers report that they have interfered with their father's visitation solely to punish their ex. We can help you protect your children from being a part of these statistics, even when their mothers won't. Our courts do care about you and your children. At a minimum, you need legal advice when you're going through something like this, and you may need representation. If you do, call me, Marilyn York, at 324-7979. That's 324-7979. Or visit our website at marilynyork.net.
If you've never visited the Wild Horse Saloon, you need to come out and visit. It's Nevada's most unique saloon with great food, great libations, amazing entertainment 24 hours a day. What kind of entertainment, you ask? Well, the Wild Horse Saloon has brought back live burlesque shows, with new shows starting every hour, 24 hours a day, with different entertainers every hour. No show is ever the same twice. So come to the Wild Horse. Throw your legs over the saddle. We have actual Western saddle bar stools, and order a cold beer. The Wild Horse Saloon is the place to go and let your hair down. Just have fun. We have fabulous food with everything from pizzas and wings to hamburgers and steaks. We're a huge lunch spot from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., and we serve our full food menu until 10 at night, and hors d'oeuvres the rest of the night. I'm Susan Austin, and I'm personally inviting you to come out and see us at the Wild Horse Saloon. Take I-80 East to exit 28. It's just 15 minutes from downtown Reno. Follow the signs to the Wild Horse Canyon from the exit. See you soon.
Fox 1270.
When you came in, the air went out, and every shadow filled up with doubt. I don't know who you think you are, but before the night is through, I wanna do bad things with you.
You're back on the Marilyn York Show. I'm so immature, everything makes me laugh, which is so nice from this radio show, because I want to laugh in court all the time, and I do, which is not acceptable, but I do. But on this show, I get to laugh and like play songs about it. It's so great. I love Dell and her music tastes. So I don't know what the heck we said we were going to talk about, because we were having so much fun on the break. We changed it. But one of the things I promised to talk about was Eden, your plans to open a club. Give me the lowdown. What is Eden? What's the concept behind it? How is it different? Like, what are you guys trying to do here in the Reno area with this Eden Club concept?
Well, we've noticed that when we go to clubs, that none of them are really set up for all types of swingers. I guess you kind of get what you're into and you kind of go with that, whether it's on purpose or not, I don't know.
So like 1099 Club is a gay club, but it also has a swinging like component to it, for example.
Right.
Okay, so you're going to do something just swinger.
Well, yeah, and all types of swingers. Like, one of the clubs we go to had a public area, and then they had kind of a semi-public area, but no real private area. Another club we've been to has a public area and a private area, but nothing semi-private. So we want to have some place that's kind of configurable by the people themselves. They can decide how much exposure they want, how private they want. So it kind of is a better idea for catering to any couple who happens to come in. And then
I like that, because I would assume that swingers should be accepting of one another, even if you're a different type, like the voyeur versus the full. If any, you know, population was going to be accepting of that or understanding or interested in evolving to the next level, it should be in one location. I would think that that would be kind of a nice setting. Right. So what sort of like things do you guys have planned to help people get acquainted with one another? Is there some plan in making that more natural than the current club situation? Because one of the things I hate about clubs, and I know we talked about it at lunch, is that the music's too loud, for example. You can't hear anyone, and you can't breathe if there's smoke. There's that too. So what sort of ambiance, should we say, you guys have planned for Eden?
We want to have a an area where couples can actually talk, because you
what
go
a
and
concept.
Yeah.
Not yell. You said act, talk, not scream.
Yeah, it would be a nice
in each other's
change.
Ear. That's the other thing that creeps me out. When you do talk to someone in a club, they have to touch you. I'm like, I don't want your spit in my eardrum.
Well, with and us, that's a little different.
But. Yeah. Okay. If you can't handle the spit in the eardrum, you've got bigger problems. Good point. Way to go. So, okay. So an area where you guys can talk, and then three different types or more different types, depending on the type of swinger you'll be, that can figure in the same environment, like those clubs in like LA or San Francisco that have five floors with five different types of music kind of idea.
Yeah.
Maybe but not as big.
Not as big.
I don't know how big the population is here in Reno. Cause like I said, you guys are in the vault, man, in the vault, top secret. I want more information and I don't want to judge. I just want to know. In fact, I like people more when they're wilder than me. It makes me think they're cool. Like, especially the uptight religious super right wing guys that John was harping all over. Those guys, if they're swinging, I'm like, suddenly you're interesting to me. You were so boring a minute ago. It's all about me. Okay. Okay. So Eden, when is this set to open? Is it going to be its own club? Are you guys going to move it around to different people's clubs? What's in the works?
Yeah, we just lost our space. We had a plan to go on 4th Street with someone, and apparently they lost interest. So if anybody's got a club out there with about 3,000 square feet,
okay,
contact us, edenplayroom.com.
Okay. No, that's good to know. I know a few club owners in town, too. I can ask them about it, because I think it sounds like there's some money to be made here, and that's what they're into. I mean, how big is the lifestyle? Is this significant, like a every weekend kind of thing where you think you could fill a club?
Yeah.
Or get tourism in town, too, for it?
A lot of people come from Sacramento.
Okay.
In fact, the Sacramento and Reno communities are surprisingly connected. We know a lot of people down there, and a lot of traveling back and forth. Some San Francisco people, but more Sacramento.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. The local lawmakers should be inviting swingers into the area, it sounds like, to get some tourism increase. I mean, this is Nevada. Let's not apologize for swinging. We have legal prostitution, people. We sell Everclear at the grocery store. I mean, are you kidding me? And people are going to worry about swinging when it's actually consenting married people? That's like 10 steps below selling yourself for sex in a whorehouse to me. So I don't know why people are such pansies, but this is interesting. And I hope it takes off. It sounds like it's going to be a good scene for people into it. Do you guys have any recommendations, last minute recommendations for people that are new into the scene or want to get into the scene that haven't? What do you suggest be their entry point?
First of all, it's usually the guy's idea. So when you approach your woman about it, you can't force
woman,
her.
I love it.
You can't.
Jada's giving it a nod.
Yeah. A lot of guys have a heavy hand, and you have to be very careful, because if she isn't into it, and most women aren't going to be, especially at first, you're in dangerous territory. So you have to be very understanding, and you have to approach her with a lot of love and communication. And it may take 10 years for you to get there, and you have to be okay with that, because what's that?
If ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of the lucky ones. Do not use Miss Jada here as an example of what's going to happen at your house, people. So, well, that's a fair point. So when they do, if there's a woman that expresses some willingness to engage, would you suggest they go on the lifestyle websites or maybe go to the club? If a club in San Francisco, is there one particular club that's less jarring in entry than another?
Because
I would have a heart attack if I walked into a club and there were a bunch of people having sex over a wall. And I'm not a prude, but I would seriously be like, holy Jesus, like that.
Poker Nights is probably the one that you won't see a lot of sex going on.
Okay, that would be probably P-O-K-H-E-R, if you guys need to spell that, and it's Knights as in Knights of the Round Table.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I think they need to rename it. Can we work on that? Because it's a little crude, and I'm crude. But if it's not as openly sexual as, say, some of the nightclubs, they should connote that in their title better. Well, thank you guys again for coming on, because this was fascinating and I really enjoyed getting more information. Next week, I'm going to bring back Dr. Tiffany McCormack to talk about plastic surgery, including non-elective surgery, because we spent quite a bit of time last time talking about elective surgery and the prejudice that goes on with it and the stupid Heidi Montags of the world and their ridiculousness. But we're going to talk about non-elective and the things that plastic surgery does to make the world a better place and the necessary procedures. You can listen next week and post photos on my Facebook wall if you want to inquire about specific body parts, and she can check them out. So if you want to do that anonymously, put your boobs on there. I don't care. Listen up to the next show. Kathy Karish is coming on Skirted Issues in just a moment. If you want to hear the Governor Inside Track story from her perspective, it should be fascinating. Thanks again, and this is Marilyn York signing off.